I want to start this by saying I'm aware of a lot of the stuff that's happened in the news. I've heard a lot of things that, quite honestly, it's unfortunate that they happen, right? But if you're listening to the Meatweed podcast, hopefully I could bring some sort of comfort, you know? That's kind of the reason that I've kept the Meatweed podcast going for so long, is that I've had people reach out and say this is their comfort podcast, you know? They'll listen to it because I really don't take things too seriously, right? I try not to be too serious on this podcast. I try to have something lighthearted so that people can listen to, go about their day, and just enjoy life, you know? The world is dark enough. The last thing we need to do is add more to it. I thank people who listen to me, you know, in a comforting way. And it's not something that doesn't go unheard, right? Whenever people do that, it really does mean a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Having said that, welcome back to the Meatweed podcast, where we don't know either. We really don't know what every week's going to be about. Every single week is different. Sometimes they relate to each other. Sometimes there's part twos. Sometimes it's an hour long. I really don't know. I record these intros and then I get started, right? And the thing is, I always do that because a lot of people don't realize behind the scenes, things can change in an instant. I can have an entire episode planned and then it'll just be scrapped, or halfway through, it'll change meaning entirely. Anyway, many of you people have already heard the term spyware, right? What is it though, right? A lot of people who don't know too much about technology, myself included, will hear this and think, okay, spyware, I know the word spy, I know the word where. Where are we spying from? Ha ha. I don't know what that was. That joke sucked. But I hope you laughed anyway. Anyway, I'm discussing spyware because I know a lot of people have heard the term before, but they've never heard it properly defined. I know a lot of people are thinking stuff like, oh, there's Chinese spyware on my phone, I need American spyware instead. It's like, you guys don't understand. Well, maybe you do. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you do kind of know the definition already. It's very self-evident with the term, right? But have you ever heard the definition of it? The history of it? You know what it is, right? Well, kind of. You kind of know what it is. Let's look into it further, and let's try to learn a thing or two about spyware, maybe how to, you know, derail it, or just what to expect, you know? You want to learn something new every day, you know? Alright, so what's spyware? We have here the Wikipedia definition, right, for spyware is any software with malicious behavior that aims to gather information about a person or organization and send it to another entity in a way that harms the user by violating their privacy. Pretty straightforward. Endangering their device's security or other means. This behavior may be present in malware and in legitimate software. Think of it like Facebook or maybe background settings. I think Google Chrome, and what's the other one? Microsoft Edge? Yeah, basically these all have some sort of spyware. It's not entirely bad, but we'll get into it. Websites may engage in spyware behaviors like web tracking. Hardware devices may also be affected. Spyware is frequently associated with advertising, and it involves many of the same issues. Because these behaviors are so common and can have non-harmful uses, providing a precise definition of spyware is actually a very difficult task. So the precise word for spyware, well, quite frankly, it's a gray area, right? Let me put it this way, okay? When you're watching TV and you get a bunch of advertisements, you need to understand something. These advertisements that are on television, specifically, on a wide broadcast, they're not targeted to any individual person. They're targeted to a blanket term, the general audience, right? Maybe the channel that you're watching might be a news channel. Let's say you're watching, I don't know, just some sort of big news series, right? And you get ads that really don't have any, they have nothing in common, but they're very common things, you know, toilet paper, maybe some sort of new hairspray's coming out, maybe Native brand stuff. I keep seeing Native brand ads everywhere. I don't wear Native. I tried them once. They're okay, but that's it, you know? Anyway, there's a reason I'm bringing it up. These ads are not targeted. They're kind of targeted, as in the channel that they're on determines what kind of ads you're getting. For example, if I'm watching Adult Swim, I'm going to get ads for more adult-oriented things. That doesn't mean porn. In this case, it means literally 18 plus. So anyone above the age of, you know, any voting age, I guess. And you also got to think of it like this. It's late night television, so you're going to get different ads, maybe more raunchy ads, right? I'm talking from experience of back then, not many people watch TV anymore. So let's go a little more forward. We're skipping forward a bit. Web 1.0. We're now on the internet. We are not on the television. The side banner of the internet, you now see banners, right? On the sides, maybe you're playing on coolmathgames.com and you see a banner ad on the side. And it's not really targeted. However, it knows you're a child or you're somebody young, so it tries not to target you with ads that you shouldn't be watching. However, sometimes something slipped through the cracks. I'm saying this from personal experience because when I was a kid, around 14, 13, there were ads on coolmathgames.com. Yes, I was still playing at 13. Some games were fun, okay? I'm sorry. And it was just a way to pass the time, right? However, I would sometimes get ads for quote-unquote adult games, and all of these sites were blocked. However, some slipped through the cracks. Again, there's so many websites that it's really hard to police all of it, right? That's not the point. The point is, these were all targeted advertisements because they knew, okay, somebody who's very curious about these things are going to want to see them. However, that's the problem, right? This is the beginning of targeted advertisements. So let's skip further ahead. You now have the modern internet, right? Web 2.0. You hear talks of the VPNs that people keep selling, right? The problem is these two are not the safest. The problem at this point becomes that the websites that everybody trusts, you know, you got Facebook, Instagram, Google, again, the bigger ones, right? They now have spyware on your cell phone and anything with access to the internet, period. Your smart fridge, everything, right? It gives them some sort of information. That little bit of information can be used to sell you stuff. And the thing is, these websites aren't making money off of this spyware unless they sell it to somebody who says, hey, this person has a very specific interest. Would you like to sell them stuff regarding it? That's how the money comes in. Now, to those more tech savvy, you're probably hearing this thinking, yeah, okay, and? You know, I know a lot of people know this stuff, okay? But it's good to think about the people that aren't asking the questions out loud because they don't want to look, you know, like, oh, I'm out of the loop. And let me tell you something, okay? We all have questions, but all of us don't want to look a certain way, right? We don't want to look like we don't know anything. I know a lot of people, this is from personal experience, I know a lot of people from school who never ask questions because they always heard, there are no stupid questions. They'd ask a question and they'd get ridiculed. That sticks with people, okay? I'm not just talking about people like in their early 20s or people like, you know, it sticks with you forever, right? I know people in their 60s who are like, back in school they did this, so I didn't want to keep studying. I get it, okay? I get it. I've been through shit myself. And that's why I think even if people aren't asking the questions, I'm going to answer it anyway because there's a chance they want to know and they don't want to ask because of that, okay? So let's talk a bit more about Web 2.0 and all of the data that people are giving, okay? Basically, it's very simple. If you're ever asked, you know, about your location, first off, your location says a lot about you, your zip code, right? People already know your zip code can determine whether you're a wealthy person or a very impoverished person, right? There's a lot of people that live in zip codes that are much lower tax brackets, things of the sort, right? But the reason being is because, you know, houses are cheaper and so forth, and you go to other places where it's like, oh, maybe in the Beverly Hills where all the houses are millions of dollars, right? Big difference. Why does this matter? Well, to an advertiser, they're not going to give you something, they're not going to advertise to you something incredibly expensive if you're from a lower tax bracket or a certain zip code. They're not going to advertise things that they know they're never going to get a return on investment on, right? They're going to ask you nothing because they know you don't have money. And it hurts, don't get me wrong, it hurts hearing it, but that's the truth. That's how advertisers see it. It's like, these guys don't have money, we don't even want to bother asking. It's fucked up, I know, it's messed up. However, somebody from a richer neighborhood, hey, maybe you want to splurge a bit this weekend. Lord knows you have the money for it. Give me some of that disposable income, right? And that's how advertisement works. And maybe you'll get something cheaper advertised to you. I myself have been getting a lot of Temu ads. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Temu has... Wow. I know you guys heard that. My stomach just grumbled. I know that Temu has been accused of being spyware, right? Which the concern is that it's Chinese spyware. And of course, it's already been in the, it's already been voted on. A lot of people are talking about TikTok because it's owned by a Chinese company. Now, people who don't know this, you guys need to understand that the People's Republic of China, was it that one? The Chinese Communist Party? What was it? What is it under right now? The People's Republic of China. There we go. Sorry, I keep getting them all messed up. They changed a lot. They changed their title a lot. Anyway, one of the rules in China is that if you are associated with them, you have to give them backlog or some sort of a, what's called a backdoor access. Basically, they need access to the information that you have. And if you want to stay in business with them, you're going to have to give them that. Unfortunately, TikTok and Temu are very associated over there in China. And the concern isn't that... The concern is that they have a lot of information. Because the thing is, TikTok is significantly more popular than Temu, right? I mean, TikTok has its own Temu store within itself. You don't even have to go to Temu, right? You have TikTok Shop, which is basically the same thing. We actually did, I did anyway, I did a bit of research. I downloaded both apps, okay? First off, my phone began slowing down, which I've had them for a while, so it's not a big concern. It's when you have them open in the background, which already a bit of a concern, right? Because once you have these apps open in the background, they can pry into you a little bit. They won't do too much, okay? They're not going to do that thing where they access your camera. You know, that's a hacker thing. It's not one of these things. Can they? They could. Most they could do is see your face. And, okay, it sounds crazy, right? It sounds a little scary, but think about this logically. What can they even do with that information, right? Nothing. They can't do much. What they can do, though, is think, okay, this person is from this address or in this zip code. So we could sell them cheaper items or more expensive items. And that's all they could do at first. However, the more you use the app, the more you give them information, right? That's the trade-off. Think about storage on your phone, right? Apple specifically. I'm thinking about Apple, but there's other ways to... I'm going to move on. Hang on. Apple has a certain amount of storage before they start saying you want to go on the iCloud, right? Maybe pay a bit extra for more data. And what that iCloud does is it stores your photos, because photos aren't, you know, they don't not have weight to them, right? All that data has to go somewhere. And when you're uploading photos constantly or videos, in this case on TikTok, all that metadata is in the app, right? It's in the servers. Servers, there we go. Sorry, I could not think of the word. Basically, whenever you upload something to the app now has that video and a bit of data with it, right? A little bit of data, not too much. Maybe they can know stuff like, where did you post this from? What address? Or what location? You know, it could be as vague as what town are you in? Or even what state you're in. And of course, the more data it gets, the more it can paint a picture, right? On its own, right? Not of you, but in general. And it'll even start doing stuff like, okay, based on people around you, you might like this. And it'll be something like a local taco stand that just popped off on TikTok because they uploaded a viral video, and then people start going to it, and the more feedback, the bigger it gets, right? The more information it got, and the more it recommends. And the same goes with certain viral videos. Like, let me put it this way. If a video goes viral, but specifically most of the viewers are from one town, a lot of people from that town are going to be recommended it if they haven't seen it already. And, you know, that's a pretty simplified version of it. The thing is, right, spyware itself is, the way it works is complicated, okay? I found something on Wikipedia, and I'm going to read it right now, because honestly, I don't know if it summarizes things. It definitely didn't make it easier for me. I'm going to say it, right, so all of the techie bros who are listening are definitely going to have their hi-hats on right now. What does that mean? Anyway, per Wikipedia, routes of infection for spyware. Spyware does not necessarily spread in the same way as a virus or worm, because infected systems generally do not attempt to transmit or copy the software to other computers. Instead, software, or the spyware, installs itself on a system by deceiving the user or by exploiting software vulnerabilities. Most spyware is installed without knowledge or by using deceptive tactics. Spyware may try to deceive users by bundling itself with desirable software. Other common tactics... Tactics! Oh my god, wow. I had to cut out something. I yelled a swear right now. Anyway. I lost my place. There it is. Other common tactics are using a Trojan horse. Spy gadgets that look like normal devices but turn out to be something else, such as a USB keylogger. These devices actually are connected to the devices, right? So it's not going to be like a software you download. It has to be physically connected to the device. These devices are actually connected to the device and memory units, but are capable of recording each stroke made on the keyboard. Some spyware authors infect the system through security holes in the web browser or another software. When the user navigates to a web page controlled by the spyware author, the page contains code which attacks the browser and forces the download and installation of spyware. Basically, if you're in this certain website and you shouldn't be, it's got infected spyware in it. It's going to download things without your permission. That's one of the tactics anyway. The installation of spyware frequently involves Internet Explorer. Its popularity and history of security issues have made it a frequent target. I know this from experience. Internet Explorer is garbage. I would not use it, okay? I hate to say it, but it's really how it is, right? Internet Explorer has gone through a lot, and it's just because it's the default browser on older computers. Its deep integration with the Windows environment made it susceptible to attack into the Windows operating system. Internet Explorer also serves as a point of attachment for spyware in the form of browser help objects, which modify the browser's behavior. Think of something like Bonzi Buddy. If you guys don't know what that is, Google it. Bonzi Buddy was the original spyware. Like, you had to download it, and you basically had a purple monkey that would ask information, and it would even have a questionnaire to get to know you better. The difference is, you got a friendly little buddy. It's like a butler on your computer. But it was not worth it. It was just harvesting data. This is the OG spyware, okay? This is the original. And I'm not saying it's the first, right? It's just the first big dog. It's the first one that people know about. Because the first recorded use of the term spyware occurred in October 16, 1995, on a Usenet post that poked fun at Microsoft's business model. Spyware at first denoted software meant for espionage purposes. Basically, the spyware term was originally more... It was like a James Bond type shit, okay? I would argue it's kind of the same, actually. However, in the early 2000s, the founder of Zone Labs, Gregor Freund... What a fucking name. I definitely mispronounce it, but I'm going with that. Gregor Freund used the term in a press release for the Zone Alarm Personal Firewall. Late in 2000, a parent using Zone Alarm was alerted to the fact that Reader Rabbit, educational software marketed to children by the Mattel toy company, was surreptitiously sending data back to Mattel. Since then, spyware was taken on its present sense. So Mattel was the original spyware. That's concerning. By the way, there's actually a number of laws that started because of that. I do remember that. The first spyware being targeting children, that's disturbing, right? What's even worse when you think about the fact that parents don't know this, especially in the early 2000s, they did not know this, right? This is very early internet. This is back when people said, oh, don't click on that, it'll cause a virus. And they genuinely believed it. The truth is, yeah, it could have. It absolutely could have. Back then, it was a much bigger issue. Viruses just forcing themselves onto your computer. Basically, you would click something. It was the pop-up era, right? The pop-up era was... You had a really fat computer, right? This is me talking from experience, because I had a computer back then with a really big box and a really bulky thing. It was an off-white computer that looked like somebody had been smoking next to a white computer for hundreds of years, and it just turned yellowish in that way. It was just an e-computer, right? E-electronics computer. A lot of people know this because it was free. The computer was free. People really wanted it, okay? Anyway, moving on. This was the era where the internet... it was just weird, okay? Let me put it this way. There was no YouTube, there was no Google, there was no TikTok, there was Google, but it was very early. Amazon exclusively sold books, and you'd have to wait months to get them, right? Maybe a few weeks, but it wasn't the powerhouse that it is now. Back then, they stuck to books, right? And it's funny, too. Now that I mentioned that about Amazon, people don't realize that Amazon still sells books, but you can now publish with them. My books are there, too. Okay? The Tale of Gabriel by Marcos Garcia, that's me, is on there right now. And some people have gotten free copies, and you can still buy it on Amazon. Anyway, that's early internet, right? The problem was, everything wasn't optimized. People who knew a little bit more, they would go out of their way to make viruses. And every time you clicked on a website, you'd get a pop-up that says, you want $1 million, click here. Bam. Trojan horse. Wow, I have a lot of tongue-twisting actions right now. I don't know how to explain it. I need to rest a bit. Hang on. I genuinely had to take a break. I don't know what's wrong with my voice lately, but it's been messing up. excuse me. Why don't we just keep reading the Wikipedia article, right? This is after the Mattel company had started the spyware. According to a 2005 study by AOL and the National Cybersecurity Alliance, 61% of surveyed users' computers were infected with some form of spyware. So, beginning of the end. Because I'm pretty sure it's 100% now, right? Whether or not you're actually trying, even if you have a VPN, someone is spying on you. It sucks, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. 92% of surveyed users with spyware reported that they did not know of its presence. And 91% reported that they had not given permission for the installation of the spyware. This is, of course, early 2000s. So, you know, relax a bit, okay? Take a deep breath, relax. We're talking about old statistics here. As of 2006, spyware has become one of the preeminent security threats to computer systems running Microsoft Windows operating systems and Internet Explorer. But Internet Explorer was a primary browser and particularly vulnerable to such attacks, not only because IE was the most widely used, but also because its tight integration with Windows allows spyware access to crucial parts of the operating system. All right? What did I say? Internet Explorer sucks, right? Seriously, it's one of the biggest exploits in computing history, because it was basically the original exploit. Before Internet Explorer 6, SP2 was released as part of Windows XP Service Pack 2. The browser would automatically display an installation window for any ActiveX component that a website wanted to install. The combination of user ignorance about these changes and the assumption by Internet Explorer that all ActiveX components are benign helped to spread spyware significantly. Excuse me. Many spyware components would also make use of exploits in JavaScript, Internet Explorer, and Windows to install without users' knowledge or permission. So already we have a lot, okay? We have a lot. Let's break down what we heard, right? Too much, that's what we heard. It's a lot to follow if you're not tech savvy, okay? And I'm not. The Windows registry contains multiple sections where modifications of key values allow software to be executed automatically when the operating system boots. Spyware can exploit this design to circumvent attempts and removal. The spyware typically links itself to each location in the registry that allows execution. Once running, the spyware will periodically check if any of these links are removed. If so, they will be automatically restored. This ensures that the spyware will execute when the operating system is booted, even if some or most of the registry links are removed. So, what? That's as much as I can think of. Look, if this clicked the tool, what the fuck? I cannot think right now. I've always been told that my brain works faster than my mouth, and I guess so right now, right? If this struck a chord with you, I'm glad that it did, but I'm trying to describe spyware to people who don't know anything about spyware while also not knowing about spyware. Do you understand how difficult my predicament is, right? I'm not tech savvy, okay? And I have a MacBook. That's it. And I know some people that are probably way better suited to teach you more about this, but I just wanted to talk about the history of spyware, right? Because back then, it was far worse. 91% of people didn't even know. 92% of people didn't know. 91% didn't consent. That's a big, big amount, right? Seriously, it's a huge amount. What the fuck? How are you supposed to know you had spyware back when no one knew what spyware was? The thing is, right? People know more about computers now, but not everyone. Not everyone knows. And there's a lot of places that actually teach you now mandatory stuff like don't click links from emails, right? The problem is, it's not links that we're getting sent. It's not things that we're being forced to download in the background that steal our information all at once, that hold our information for ransom. You know, they don't put this isn't some sort of big issue where people are holding our information for ransom, right? The problem is, what's going on right now is that people are scared that there's a lot of influence in TikTok. There's a lot of stuff in our computers that is basically like, okay, we're going to get your information and we're going to use it to sell you stuff, okay? Data loggers, that's what it's called. There's a lot of people that get your data and they log it, they sell it to companies, third parties that will just start selling you all kinds of bullshit, right? Things you don't want. Advanced commercials. That's the best way for me to put this, right? And people are sick of it. But there's another looming threat, right? And that is China has backdoor access to TikTok. At least that's what people are saying, right? But the CEO is from Singapore, okay? I'm not on anyone's side here. I honestly don't want TikTok to be banned. And I feel like people are misinformed about the whole thing because it's a very confusing topic, as you heard today. I feel like people have a big fear of, well, not people, right? I feel like specifically government officials are more worried that TikTok is some sort of a big spying device, right? But you got to understand, most people working in Congress are just so old. Like, I know a lot of people back then are probably thinking, well, this spyware was on my phone. How did TikTok know I wanted this? It's like, it's because you searched for it once and it's going to be there forever, right? If I'm Googling something and if I use, let's say incognito mode or, yeah, incognito mode, right? If I use that and I Google it, it's still going to show up in some sort of metadata somewhere, okay? Like, let's say it's over the Wi-Fi router. I don't know how it works specifically. It's just targeted to you specifically now. Basically, you have in your repertoire, you have a lot of stuff on the internet that you post and it can be used against you, right? Not in a negative way specifically. It could be stuff like, okay, let's sell this person this. Let's sell this person that. At the end of the day, right? What I'm telling you right now is, at the end of the day, they're just selling you stuff. That's pretty much all it boils down to, right? This metadata is just, oh, he wears size 38 pants, or he wears extra large t-shirts. You know, stuff like that. I think the main fear that people have that are older is that they think that you can, what's the term? Maybe there's some secrets on your phone and they can access that, you know? Because people tend to text a lot. And they'll text information that they don't want leaked. I get it, you know? There's a lot of concerning things about it. I don't know why TikTok is, I don't know why TikTok is a target specifically. I just feel like it mostly has to do with the fact that they have Chinese investors, you know? And, you know, shit happens. I'm not gonna sit here and say, yeah, I've seen some stuff that's questionable on TikTok. But why specifically TikTok? The reason being is because it's Chinese in origin, you know? They started with their own TikTok over there. They changed the name and they brought it over here. I don't know, man. I just feel like it's definitely an overreaction to just stop it entirely, you know, to fully cancel it. Makes no sense to me. That's why I fully support the stopping the ban on TikTok. Like 100%, right? I post on TikTok. I love it. Some of my videos have popped off. They've gotten thousands of views. Not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but that's something, right? But yeah, of course, you got a bunch of old lawmakers who think, no, it has to be this way. It has to be that way. I know you don't like, they never address the actual bullshit that happens in this country. Okay. They just want to feel empowered. Fuck those guys. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Next week, I am not sure what I'm going to talk about. Honestly, I'm fully stumped because I'm starting a new job soon. Okay. If you guys want to know what's going on behind the scenes, I'm sorry if this felt a little like split up into big chunks. It's because I have a new job that I'm starting soon. I'm gonna have free time, sure, but not as much as I used to. Oh my god, I cannot stop burping. There it is. Yeah, also, I've been exercising more, so I'm trying to do things in a more scheduled way, right? But yeah, new job coming soon. I'm not going to have as much free time, but that's okay. I'd rather stay busy because I want to build a life for myself. Also, I need to get out of debt really badly. I still have student loan debt. I'm almost in my 30s. I still have student loan debt. Thank you. Anyway, see you guys next week. Bye.